You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hawkeye Insiders, David Eicholt, Sean Bock here for 24/7 Sports, doing an instant reaction to Iowa's 83-67 win over Seton Hall. Very, very impressive performance by Iowa. Sean, I know a lot of people projected this to be a close game. I told a couple groups, and I think on the radio today, that it wouldn't surprise me if Iowa came away with a double-digit win. But they did it in a fashion that I didn't expect. I think Iowa showed a lot of resiliency, especially on the glass and on the defensive end in the first half. But it's very interesting watching the Fran McCaffrey-era teams develop in terms of just having that dog mentality. I mean, you go back to a few years ago, how many close games did Iowa lose? But now it just seems like over the last 3 years, I don't know if it's just different personnel, if they're doing something different coaching-wise, but they just got some fight to them, and they got some more swagger than I think past Iowa teams have just lacked. But this is a huge, huge quad one victory, road victory already for Iowa this season.
Yeah, and I think Donnie Marshall brought up a good point during his broadcast too, of with the COVID stuff and these teams being older. And I think Iowa falls into that category too. I mean, you mentioned the Luke Garza's leaving, the Keegan Murray, the Joe Wieskamp, you know, other guys too, you know, even CJ Frederick from a couple years ago, like those were more experienced guys and they were big role playing guys. But you look at the team this year, Philip Rabracha, 6th year, Tony Perkins, 3rd year, Peyton Sanford, get it, he's in his 2nd year, he's the youngest guy. Patrick McCaffrey, what is he, 4th year? Chris Murray, 3rd year, but honestly looks like he's gone from his 2nd year to his 4th year, even his 5th year with the way that he played tonight. Aaron Ewers, 3rd year, Connor McCaffrey, 6th year. That's a lot of experience. And in a hostile environment like tonight too at the Prudential Center, you need that experience to win those games. And I thought there was a lot of poise from this team too. I know Tony Perkins got that technical foul for being really, really excited, but it just seemed like there was more poise from this team maybe in years past. I mean, obviously that wasn't the case in the beginning of the game with, you know, the turnovers and the offensive rebounds being allowed and whatnot. And there's a lot of just a lot of mayhem on the court. It seemed like Iowa was playing to how Seton Hall wanted to play. But I think when maybe it was Chris Murray knocked down that 1-3 to make it either 10-5 or 10-7, I thought that's when Iowa really started to slow things down a little bit. Yeah. Really started to play their tempo of ball. And I also think when Tyrese Samuel went to the bench, I think that was an important stretch too for Seton Hall because they weren't really as getting much on the offensive glass, or there really wasn't much going their way in the hustle category. And Iowa just seemed to, you know, take advantage of that. So yeah, I mean, I think experience is a big part of it. And I think you got to tip your hat to the guards for Iowa, too. I mean, you got to, you know, obviously acknowledge Chris Murray in the game that he had. Philip Rabracha, while he started out slow, I mean, he looked all like I was thinking to myself with the way that Seton Hall was rebounding the basketball, that maybe this is a game that Iowa has to go to Josh Ogundele and maybe get him, you know, get him to box out Tyrese Samuel or whatever,
big man.
Yeah. So, I mean, credit to Philip for really turning things around and really playing his role and really thriving in that role, because that's not always easy for a 6-year guy or fifth year guy to do kind of the garbage work like that. And he's really taken that on and been really solid. And Aaron Ulis too. I mean, Tony Perkins, I know, had 18 points in 34 minutes and was just a dog out there, but you know, he really seemed to come up with big plays and make big time plays, take care of the basketball. He had 5 assists. Aaron Ulis too. I mean, even though he had a rough stretch in the first half, his efforts in the second half, I thought, were one of the difference makers in this game too. Just the way, yeah, how poised he looks on the court and just how more comfortable he looks out there. And, you know, he's not rushed. And that play where he had three guys surrounding him and he had someone in the corner or Connor McCaffrey on the wing too. And he somehow saw Connor McCaffrey was wide open, threw it behind him for a open three. And that kind of seemed like the dagger to me in this game. That was just a heads up play and kind of, you know, what Aaron Ulis is all about, because I feel like a lot of people weren't really giving him enough credit when DeSonte Bowen came in. Now, DeSonte Bowen's still young, still figuring things out, but I think a lot of people are writing Aaron Ulis off. And he kind of showed tonight, especially in that second half, that he's going to make big contributions for this Iowa team, especially games where they need ball handlers.
I think the one thing that showed me about Aaron Ulis, look, he had a horrible stretch in that first half. I mean, I was dictating, what does Iowa do? Are they going to go DeSonte Bowen and get throw Perkins back in there? But something that stood out to me, Sean, Fran let him play down the stretch. And that tells me one thing. Fran trusts Aaron Ulis to do the right thing, because Fran does not play guys late that he does not trust. And Aaron, I thought, like you said, that play to Connor McCaffrey. Connor McCaffrey, by the way, is shooting the ball with so much more confidence than he ever has in his career. There's zero hesitation when he's open. He will pull it, and he's been hitting them. And I think that's a very good thing as well. But yeah, I was impressed with Aaron Ulis' fight back. And that's exactly what Iowa's going to need from the backup's guard spot, because I think Tony Perkins, without a doubt, is the best point guard on this team. I tweeted during the game, Sean, you know, following Iowa basketball basically my entire life, and especially in the Fran McCaffrey era and covering it for half of the Fran McCaffrey era, people have been clamoring for a point guard that is Tony Perkins. They want a guy that can occasionally hit a three, doesn't hesitate, but is a dog. He can drive in, he can kick out, he can finish through contact, he can rebound, and he is a menace defensively. There's going to be rough stretches for Tony Perkins, but man, he's one of my favorite players in the country to watch. Just, he has such a unique game, and there's just so much emotion, and I think it's such a basic thing to say, but there's just so much dog to him, and I think that's exactly the type of attitude that you need to win games in March. I know we touched on that in our preseason podcast, but I want to go back to Philip Abracha too. Got to give him so much credit, because I was worried about Iowa in that first possession, Sean, when Seton Hall had three offensive rebounds and they got fouled that went to the line. And you're thinking probably this is going to be a long day for Iowa. That first 4-minute stretch, that was a game that Iowa typically loses under Fran McCaffrey. Philip Abracha was, I'll say, a garbage man, but it's like a garbage man that you put Febreze on. Like, it was dirty work, but he made it look so good. His defense, I thought, down low was spectacular. These are athletic blocks he was making too. He wasn't just blocking shorter guys, especially the one to end the first half, had 4 blocks. It seemed like he had more than 11 rebounds as well, but I love seeing him play with that fire. I love seeing him play with that confidence. And I know you touched on the beginning of the year, that's exactly what Iowa needs. And Philip just looks like he understands his role so much more this year. And on top of that, he looks more willing to accept it. He looks so much more comfortable in that role. I thought, arguably, Sean, it was his best game as a Hawkeye. If not, it's at least top 2 or 3. On both ends of the floor, he was spectacular tonight.
Yeah, most definitely. And Fran McCaffrey mentioned it too. I think a lot of people, with the way that Iowa went into the transfer portal this summer and looking for a big man to, you know, fill another need, I think a lot of people were maybe saying, hey, is Fran writing, like, I know obviously Fran would not do this, but hey, is like Fran writing off Philip? Like, they don't believe that he can be a big man, or, you know, a solid big man or a reliable big man in the Big Ten. That was never the case, but it's always good to have another depth piece. And Fran McCaffrey has mentioned before too, that the league, the way that the Big Ten is set up this year, they're going to need Josh and Riley to potentially step up in games against Michigan, Indiana, and a couple other programs. But Philip Abracha, Well, he may be undersized. He does so many things well for this team, whether that's rebounding, whether that's guarding ball screens, being versatile. I mean, I think he's got, maybe more footwork or better, more polished footwork than some of the other guys that he goes up against that might be stronger, more talented, or have more length to him. But yeah, he just does so many things down low for you that work out. I mean, obviously with some of the offensive rebounding or the defensive rebounding, that's kind of magnified because he's not as tall and not as lengthy. And, there are going to be times where he's not going to be able to get his shots off down low, or, he's not going to be able to guard guys down low as effectively. But just the way I think he moves his feet, I think makes up for it. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those games too where Iowa really needed him to step up, and that was the case here, and that's what he did. And that's kind of what Iowa needs from Abracha this year. I've said before the season, I think if he averages 10-8, which is an improvement from last year, where I think he was like 6-6 or 5-5, that is going to be a very healthy step up for this Iowa team, for Abracha too, because if he does that, he could be one of the more impactful big men in this league from not a talent standpoint, because Trayce Jackson-Davis and Hunter Dickinson are obviously on a different level, but from just an importance and a vital aspect to this team, because he has other guys down low that will offer length and can guard multiple spots. So that makes his life easier in that regard. But just what he's able to do is like being that junkyard dog, or being that guy that, kind of just does everything down low. Not even really a glue guy, but just one of those guys that you can kind of put down there and he'll do what's asked of you, or he'll do what's asked of him. So I think that aspect is what's really important as well.
No doubt. And again, I think Seton Hall is going to have his challenges offensively this year. I mean, they turned the ball over at a crazy rate. And even entering the game, I think the first two games had 36 combined turnovers. They turned the ball over 16 more times against Iowa today. Something I did like, though, Shaheen Holloway coached team, Sean, they pressure the ball. They force a lot of turnovers. Iowa only turned the ball over 8 times. And against a Shaheen Holloway coach team, that is a very, very good sign. You pointed to the experience earlier. I think that's a very big deal as well. But yeah, again, I think the way it happened for Iowa, they need to find ways to win different game, different ways to win games. And again, for Iowa, just stepping up defensively, I thought their interior presence was spectacular. I mean, Iowa doesn't have the size, but whenever there was an offensive rebound, you saw three Iowa jerseys in the paint already looking to block a shot, looking to block a kick out pass to make things difficult. And I thought Iowa, more than not any other time over the past couple seasons, but it was up there. I mean, they did a great job of collapsing inside. They weren't so hyper focused on getting the ball back and running down the court. They were focused on defense. And that's a very good sign going forward. Again, Iowa's resiliency in the rebounding department, I thought it was a big deal. And again, I didn't write about Aaron Ulis in my first impressions. I probably should have, because that second half he put together was very, very good. But something I know people want to hear about, Sean, something that we haven't touched on yet. Some people were worried about Peyton Sanford. I wouldn't read too much into this game for Peyton Sanford. I mean, he got a couple shots early, didn't hit him. He got in foul trouble. It wasn't a game where I want to say Iowa need him to dominate. It wasn't his style of game. I think he'll respond fine. I think he's still going to be a big time player for Iowa this year. I think it was just one of those games where different guys stepped up instead of Samford. What say you?
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think Peyton, I didn't love this matchup for him. I thought maybe he could hit a couple more threes or at least knock down a couple more shots. I mean, I thought he had some open opportunities. I didn't love the matchup, but yeah, I think he'll be fine too. I mean, he's not going to be a guy that's going to create often off the ball. I mean, on the ball, like more as a shot creator. I think that's more of Price's brother's type of deal. But I think one thing that's really valuable about Peyton, I think a lot of people underestimate. I think defensively he's gotten better, obviously, yeah. But he doesn't turn the ball over. He hasn't had a turnover yet this year. He's a really smart player. And that's almost CJ Frederick-esque to a couple years ago when CJ, while, you know, he had his games here and there, obviously he battled the injury bug, shot the ball well, but he didn't turn the ball over. And I think that's a really vital thing with some of these perimeter players, because with how well they shoot the ball, they're going to have guys closing out on them. And those closeouts can lead to potential guys cutting down the lane or potential guys slipping that can open up other opportunities for others. And I think that's what makes a guy like Peyton so valuable. And what makes a shooter so valuable like Peyton is, yes, he can shoot the ball well, but if he can pass the ball and he can see the floor well as a shooter and not just, you know, be locked in on shooting the ball, then that's a really valuable aspect that I think some people don't realize.
I feel like we're brushing over one of the headlines of this game, Sean. We got to talk about Chris Murray more than we have. I mean, Chris was phenomenal, not to use a franism, but 29 points, carried Iowa, I thought, the first half. He scored 14, their first 21 points. Very, I don't want to say like Keegan because Chris is a separate player, but man, Chris looks like an All-American tonight. He looked like a potential lottery pick. 11 rebounds, did not turn the ball over. And he just looked so much more confident and just confident in his game. And there was no panic to him. I thought at times last year he sped up a little bit, took some ill-advised shots or panicked when he went in the paint. There was none of that in this game. I mean, he finished through contact a lot of the time. I thought the officials were, you know, not to go down that path. It was a tough matchup for them to call, I feel like, just based on the style of game and the environment. But I thought Chris did a spectacular job. I thought Iowa did a great job of adjusting to the way the officials called it, because the first 10 minutes were as physical as I can remember. Not a lot of fouls going either way. Then obviously they flipped the switch. But Iowa kept in attack mode. They kept going down low. They kept driving to the hoop, something that Seton Hall really didn't do. I thought Seton Hall kind of mailed it in for a while, Sean, just really hucked up threes, and this is not a good shooting Seton Hall team. But Chris Murray, man, I mean, I know there's a plenty of NBA scouts there, and for his first nationally televised game, I think he's emerging. He's not Keegan's brother this year, Sean. This is Chris Murray, and he's arrived.
No, he showed, I mean, I don't want to say this. I thought that he might have been more smooth at times than Keegan was last year in this game, or at least he was at that level, which was something I did not expect. Keegan is as smooth as they come when scoring the basketball, but I was amazed with how effortless Chris made it look at times.
Yeah.
Whether that's shooting the ball, I mean, adding a very good shot or a very reliable jumper to his shot or to his arsenal is important. And just being confident, being the go-to guy. I thought some of his drives too were really effective. I mean, it's harder for people to guard lefties because they're so used to guarding righties. It's like in baseball. It's like, it's tough going up against a lefty pitcher because it's unique. And that's the same way with guarding a lefty in basketball. So I think that's a really interesting wrinkle that he has to his game, where he can go over his left shoulder and really that throws off defenses. And he has that little hook shot of that little kind of floater where he goes to the left side of the rim and finishes with his left hand and makes it really hard to guard. So I was really impressed with what he showed and kind of that killer instinct that maybe some people question that he had coming into this year, especially with the way that Keegan, what he did last year, Chris coming in and being that go-to guy. I mean, no one really knew, but I think Keegan might've shown more flashes, but Chris was, you know, more, I guess, in the backseat or didn't show. I mean, he showed promise, but I think Keegan showed more of those flashes his freshman year than maybe Chris did in previous years or in last year especially. So seeing Chris take on that role this year has been really, really good for this team because they need a guy like Chris and with Tony Perkins, Patrick McCaffrey, Peyton Sanford that can step up and score 15-plus points a night.
I think outside of the Indiana game, Keegan had more flashes as a freshman than Chris last year. Obviously, when Chris had to step up to play in the Indiana game, we had, I think, 29 and 10 in that game, which were his career highs. Obviously, that really showed, okay, if he's the focal point, he can be a guy. But you know what I love too, Sean? Chris demands the ball. And he doesn't go through stretches where he doesn't touch the ball. He demands the basketball. And I think that's a very good trait for him to have. I know there were times where people got frustrated last year because Keegan wasn't getting the ball. But I think Chris is much more vocal. And just in terms of his body language and everything, where he demands the basketball. I think it's a really good thing, especially when he gets going. So I know a couple other people, Sean, were tweeting at me and they were wondering if Iowa's three-point shooting is going to be something to worry about this season. Iowa finished 5 of 16 from the field. Chris Murray had 3 of them. Patrick had 1, and Connor McCaffrey had the other. I don't know if you're with me on this. I don't think there's anything to worry about three-point shooting-wise. Every team's going to have an off night, but Peyton Sanford's one of the best shooters in the conference. Patrick showed flashes, especially again in that game against Richmond, what he can do. Chris Murray's on, you know, not afraid of the moment. He's going to continue to put up, you know, 6-7 threes a game, and I think that's good for him because he can hit that 40%+. And Connor, if he continues to emerge from the outside, I think he can be another guy. What say you? I really don't think Iowa has to worry about anything offensively. There'll be an off night or two, but it's Fran McCaffrey coached offense.
Well, I mean, with the way that they were attacking the lane and getting into those certain spots and drawing defenses out, yeah, I'm not too worried either. I mean, Connor, I think Connor should shoot more. And I think Fran has said before in previous press conference that he's been telling Connor to shoot more. I think he had I know he hit 1 3, but he had another 3 too that looked to be open, but he just didn't put it up. And I was kind of like, dude, what are you doing? You got to shoot that. Kind of being one of those couch guys. But yeah, I mean, I think from a 3-point shooting perspective, you'd like to see Peyton be that guy, because I think you got to have at least one knockdown shooter and maybe another one. So Peyton, I want to see be that guy. He's shooting 35% to start the year, was 0-2 tonight. I mean, I'd just like to see another guy step up and be a reliable 3-point shooter, because I think that's going to be so valuable. Because I think this team, I think they can finish around the rim better and get to the rim better, but shooting the ball, it's got to be something that needs to be consistent. So I think Sanford will be that guy. Chris, I think, can step up and, you know, potentially fill that role too. I mean, he was 3 of 8 tonight. Patrick, same way. But if you can have maybe 1 or 2 3-point shooting guys consistent, and then, you know, 2, 3, 4 other formidable 3-point shooters, I think you're in good shape.
Yeah, no, I'm with you again. I think there's several guys that can step up. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, can Iowa play defense and can they rebound the basketball? That's going to carry Iowa to where they want to get to go. Because I'm under the assumption, Sean, where Fran McCaffrey, year in, year out, is going to have a top 10 offense in the country. And that's crazy to think about. But I think he has a proven track record of that. But now it's going to be very interesting watching this team going forward. Monday, they return back home, play Nebraska, Omaha. But guess what? Then we have a fun 3 weeks of basketball for Iowa. I mean, they're going to go up against Iowa State. They're going to go up against Duke. They're going to go down to the Emerald Coast Classic, compete in those games as well. I give a lot of credit to Fran McCaffrey for putting the schedule together, because I know in years past, people have been critical of Iowa's non-conference schedule. Yes, there's still a cupcake or two, but Iowa's showing they're not afraid. They're looking to go take on the best of the best. And again, I think that game against Duke in Madison Square Garden is going to be a lot of fun, but it's good for Iowa, I think, to get a good win against an NCAA caliber team. And I think Seton Hall is going to be an NCAA caliber team this season. I think they can correct some things on offense. Shaheen Holloway, I think, is a top 15, top 20 coach in the country. And he wants to be at Seton Hall, which I think is another added motivation for him. But any other final takeaways, Sean? I know we kind of just dove into this head first, but it definitely a surprising win just in the fashion that Iowa did it and the way they did it, but very, very good win for Iowa that I think showcased their potential throughout the season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think this is one of those games too, where when you don't have the best night offensively, you got to show that you can win these types of games that might be mud fights. So I think in that regard, it was very, very positive. And, you know, they have Nebraska Omaha this coming Monday. Then they have five straight Power Five opponents, Clemson, yeah. Georgia Tech, or Clemson, or then Cal or TCU in that next game. TCU obviously falling the other day. Then they have Georgia Tech, Big Ten ACC Challenge, Duke at the Garden, Iowa State at home, and then Wisconsin at home. So that's an important six-game stretch to get you tuned up. I mean, I know Wisconsin's a conference game, but that's an important six-game stretch to continue to bolster that NCAA resume if you want to get, you know, one of those higher seeds. Because, I mean, this is one of those games where I think Seton Hall is probably going to be a better basketball team once the season moves, like at the end of the season, when their offense kind of comes around. But that's an impressive win to beat a team like that that maybe you don't match up with well in some areas and, you know, win in the way that you did. So just got to keep that momentum and not let up, because it's a really, really important stretch coming up.
I think if Iowa can go 3-2 in that five-game stretch against Power Five teams, I think that's a big win. If they go 4-1, Sean, then I think you're really looking at it. Look, I know Brando got a lot of crap for the way he called the game, but there is something that stood out to me, and it's something that we touched on at the beginning of the year. This does look like it has potential to be Iowa's Sweet 16 team. It really does. I think if they can continue, the toughness on the glass is going to be a big key. But again, I think just the sort of swagger and the attitude that this team has this early on the season. Sean, Iowa basketball has only lost three games since January 31st. I mean, they're still arguably one of the hottest teams in the country. I know they lost at Richmond. That was just a very weird basketball game. But this is a group that I don't think it's motivated by revenge, but I also think that they're looking to prove that they don't want to go anywhere. And I think you have a lot of experienced guys around, and there's nothing more that guys like Connor McCaffrey and Philippa Bracha would rather do than to take Iowa to a Sweet 16. I mean, that's a big reason why Connor McCaffrey came back for his sixth season. It's because he wants to be on the team when he sees his dad lead Iowa back to his Sweet 16. So I think there are a lot of factors here at play. And again, I love the chemistry of this Iowa team. They haven't turned the ball over, and it just seems like there's so much more comfort with everyone that everyone has in their role this season.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I agree with you 100%.
So, Sean, I appreciate you hopping on tonight, chopping it up post-game. I know people are going to want to hear it. We'll have full coverage of Iowa, Minnesota this Saturday at 3 p.m. We'll be on Fox. If Iowa wins, they stay live for the Big Ten West. So be sure to stay tuned to Hawkeye Insider for that. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at David Eichel, at SBOC247, and at Hawkeyes on 247. And we will talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.